From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 28th day of December 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with the folks at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the staff at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the health care reform bill is in conference and ag organizations have some words of wisdom for the committee members. And cap and trade legislation is stalled on the Hill, and that's okay with former Secretary of Ag turned Nebraska Senator Mike Johanns. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March wheat for the soft red at $5.50¾, up 26¼ today. May at $5.64.26 higher. In July, soft red at $5.75.25¼ higher. March hard red in Kansas City at $5.46 on its settlement price, up 24½¢. March corn futures were 7½ higher today, a settlement price there at $4.16. The May corn at $4.26 in Chicago, up 7¼. July, $4.34¾, up 6½. And September at $4.40, up 6¢. December corn at $4.45¾, up 5½¢. January soybeans today, $10.29, up 29½. The March at $10.38, up 30 on the afternoon. May contract at $10.43¾, 29¼ higher. And July soybeans at $10.48¾, up 29¼. November soybeans today at $10.10, up 20¾¢. Soybean meal finished at $3.10.40 in the nearby Jan, up $9. January bean oil at $39.63, up $1.17. December live cattle futures, 83.67½, up 60¢. February at 85.37½, up 62½. January feeders at 95.52½, 90¢ higher. The March at 94.95, up $1.12½. And the lean hog futures finished the February contract today at $64.70 a hundredweight. February lean hogs, 90¢ higher on this Monday afternoon. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures finished the day at $79 a barrel in the February contract. That's a 95¢ gain on the day. January ethanol at $1.91¾, up 3¢. Natural gas at $5.97¢, up 32¢. The RBOB gasoline, that's what your gasoline price is based off, at $2.07, up 2¢. Heating oil or diesel fuel, $2.07¾, settlement price or trade. Current trade, that is, up 3¢. And the gold futures at $1,107.20 on their settlement price, up $3.10 today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 10,516. It is currently trading down 3.93 on the afternoon. And the CRB index at 284.34 is up 3.42 for the day. The Goldman Sachs at 523.52, 7.67 higher on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like as prepared by our own Mike Sola. He says tonight in north central and northwestern, or rather northeastern Indiana, mostly cloudy, some snow showers. Elsewhere, clearing, lows will range from 0 in far northwestern Illinois to 20 above in the far south. And then tomorrow, in north central and northeastern Indiana, partly sunny. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs tomorrow from 15 in northern Illinois to 35 in the far south. The extended forecast says temperatures will trend toward the cooler side for the next week to 10 days. A brief shot of milder air, though, will accompany a chance of light, moderate snowfall. Snow covers will range from more than a foot in the river valleys of northern Illinois to bare ground in the far southern part of the state. We'll have a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast when we talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy at the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural futures markets. Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He serves as their senior grains analyst. Thank you for being with us today, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, nice little uptrend in the marketplace today. Is that just because, or are there some good reasons behind it?
Well, the bears had Thanksgiving, so the bulls had Christmas here. It's probably about the best observation you come back on, especially on corn. But overall, good commodity fund buying for, say, more anticipation of fund rebalancing as we go into the new calendar year. As of midday there, the talk was the funds bought up to 5,000 contracts of corn, 3,000 contracts of beans, 2,500 wheat, over 1,000 oil, and about 900 meal of the day. So that coupled with just a lack of selling interest sort of created a little bit of a vacuum today. There was a little hedge pressure in corn, but there was none for, say, in the beans or wheat side of the equation there, Todd.
Have you taken a look at the technicals on the yearly side just yet to see what we're looking at?
I did not do it today, but on the yearly chart compared to a year ago, we're virtually just about unchanged.
Yeah.
I looked at it here last week. And we had a lot of up, had a lot of down, but basically about even for the year almost, off pay a little bit. So we had a lot of bullish news, a lot of bearish news, and was all said and done back to square one almost.
Yeah, on the lead option, I think I see a 407 settlement price for the month of December last year. So it's pretty close to on the market this time of the year too, I suppose. What do you think the coming year will hold for corn?
Probably a little bit more enthusiasm to the upside. Corn sort of has been the lagger here when you look at the big picture, for say. Corn exports were historically low. Overall corn demand, historically low. I think corn got the short end of the stick. We feel that corn looking out down the road in here, if we see producers follow through on a few more or less corn acres, and if this demand starts to pick up, corn could probably be the one to carry the strength to the upside as we enter early into 2010, at least.
Yeah, and will demand pick up be dependent on which factors? Ethanol is pretty much built in, I suppose. Does that mean we need livestock sector to step up more than it has, although they've been heavier weights, and I think they've been using corn at a pretty good pace, so that leaves exports.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The feed sector is the big unknown. Of course, we've got to remember that's always a miscellaneous category, for say. But we'll see what the Hog and Pig Report says on Wednesday and see how these winter storms fare through the winter and see what type of usage we have. On the ethanol side, yes, as long as crude oil energy values stay firm and even sugar went to 28-year highs, sugar to ethanol, for say, is the so-called competition in a sense. So as long as all those factors stay strong, ethanol demand is going to stay way above the 4 billion bushel demand benchmark. But exports, you know, we had the dollar at 5-year lows, corn exports at 3-year lows, which can't be if you're one that believes the dollar influences the market. So we feel that, you know, if you're rooting for the dollar to stimulate some demand, it should be forthcoming through here. But a lot of it's going to probably too hinge on this world economy and see how Asia comes out from their economic side and see what type of corn production they see here in the coming 2010 year.
If corn got the short end of the stick in 2009, did beans on the export side get the long end with China there all the time?
It appears that way, yes. China just would not go away, and they still will not go away. We would not be surprised to see another sale announced to China tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in the morning when they release their sales numbers. They continue to be a buyer securing world protein needs. They'll probably hopefully hang in there until we start seeing this South American crop become a little bit more readily available. There's ideas that this early harvest activity in South America is showing some fairly good yields, but the majority of that early crop is going to be here in February, so we would not be surprised to see some of that demand start to shift to the southern hemisphere, but all eyes are on Asia and will continue to be on Asia as we go into January, February of this new year.
Any one reason to hang a 30-cent rally in the marketplace for beans on today?
Short covering, fear of stepping in front of the funds here. We were technically oversold. If you look at the March soybeans there, you take this 10/38 close, is halfway back up. Another notch higher is 62%. It'll put you at 10.49. We got to 10.43. So to keep the bean rally alive here, technically we'll need to go above this 10.49 benchmark and sort of break these downtrend lines here that we've sort of put on the hourly charts here since the first part of December.
You know, a 30-cent rally in the bean market, 7 cents in the corn, but maybe the one that's impressive is a 24-cent rally in the wheat. What was up in that marketplace?
Basically, once again, the dollar is a little bit lower. There were no deliveries posted against the wheat. We're seeing the market come in here and see a little bit more concerned about wheat acres here, especially in the east. It was a combination of things, but probably more in the spread activity. Like I mentioned, corn sort of getting on the short end of the stick here with traders buying wheat and selling corn on the day.
What do you see in the livestock market at this time?
A little bit of weather. Saw extreme amount of precipitation here across the Midwest. And also, too, the temperatures are going to get extremely low. We're seeing some zero readings clear across the Midwest here as we go through the week. So that's a little bit of concern as far as livestock movement and overall meat production. But also, too, ideas are that the overall consumption is going to take up tick here as we go into the new year with the economy on the heel here, for say, maybe a little bit more consumer confidence. Also, too, we're seeing export pace pick up a little bit more in the meat sector, too. So it's a combination of short-term weather and maybe a little better long-term demand for red meat.
Cattle futures have been climbing for about 3 or 4 weeks, but the hog futures look like they've sort of rounded off on a top there.
We had a good move on the hogs. The February hogs bottomed back down around 48 cents. We got up to 68. We had over a 20-point rally there, so we're sort of backing off here. Wednesday is sort of to determine the future of the hog market here as we get a handle on what type of breeding inventory we have to work with. But overall, the bright spot or the most potential still remains in the cattle complex. We continue to believe that fat cattle here in the low 80s are by. We anticipate a move up to the dollar level as we go into next summer.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
Dynamic market, you know, a lot of ups, a lot of downs in through here. So probably from a short-term perspective here, if one's wanting to trade the market, we would recommend buying the rallies and we're selling the rallies. Don't buy the rally. Sell the rally, Todd, and buy the break.
Right. All right. Thank you much.
Very good.
Kirk Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
If you'd like to hear what Kurt had to say again, you can always do that off our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming. You can click and listen to it directly from the website or have it downloaded to your computer automatically as a podcast. Just visit willag.org for all the details. Back in a moment with the agricultural news for the afternoon. In today's agricultural news, USDA has implemented the new Supplemental Revenue Assistance Payments Program, or SURE program, in accordance with the 2008 Farm Bill. In making the announcement, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack encouraged producers last week to visit their USDA Farm Service Agency county office beginning January the 4th to participate in the program if they suffered crop production losses during the 2008, that's the 2008 crop year. Vilsack promised producers will receive payments beginning in January in time to help them with planning for next year's crop. SURE provides assistance in an amount equal to 60% of the difference between the SURE farm guarantee and the total farm revenue. We'll stay in Washington now, but switch to cap and trade. Nebraska Senator and former Secretary of Agriculture Mike Johanns does not see enough upside for agriculture in either piece of cap and trade legislation now before the U.S. Senate, sufficient to overcome the problems they would create.
The loss of production and the higher fuel prices, higher fertilizer prices, etc. I just don't think any bill you could convince me that is pending solves those problems, and therefore farmers and ranchers would be at a disadvantage.
The senator believes there is a better way.
We haven't seen that proposal yet, but again, I do want to emphasize that some good people are trying to figure this out, and my hope is that they'll come up with something that makes sense for agriculture, but no pending bill at the moment, my judgment, is where we'd want to go.
The two pending bills Johanns refers to are the Boxer Carry Bill and the House-passed legislation. As an alternative, Johanns thinks nuclear power would help.
You've got to promote that. If you really want to diminish the amount of coal-fired electricity generated out there and have an impact on CO2 emissions through those coal-fired plants, then I think you have to turn to nuclear power.
Johanns also says the United States needs to focus energy potential on natural gas, more offshore drilling, and less dependence on foreign oil. And finally, a couple of notes on the health care reform bill. Iowa Senator Tom Harkin helped write that bill, and it's now headed to conference. He says his legislation has a simple goal: to decrease the number of uninsured, increase access to affordable care, and make health insurance companies more accountable. With its passage, Harkin says Congress has sent an important message to Americans that help is on the way, and that insurance companies can no longer discriminate against pre-existing conditions or gender. The NFU, or the National Farmers Union, has also weighed in on the health care reform bill, now in conference. NFU is encouraging conference committee members to take a closer look at the following provisions. NFU would like a publicly run community health insurance option to substantially increase the availability of health care to rural Americans, an end to the exemption from antitrust laws currently granted to health insurance companies, the ability for self-employed individuals to deduct their health care cost as a business expense before calculating their self-employment tax, and finally, additional financial help for low- and middle-income families so that rural Americans who pay more out-of-pocket health care costs than their urban counterparts can afford the insurance coverage they'd like and sometimes need. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program and of Commodity Week, both which you can hear on our website anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, you know, coming up next week and the week after that, the University of Illinois Corn and Soybean Classic Series of Extension Meetings will enter its 13th season. And, of course, we'll host and MC those events. They'll be at the I Hotel right here in Champaign County on the 8th day of January. That's not this coming Friday, but the following one. And then the week after that, on Monday in Springfield at the Crown Plaza, Tuesday at the Doubletree in Bloomington, and at the I Wireless Center in Moline on Wednesday. We'll finish up in Malta at Kishwaukee College on January the 14th, a day-long events, and all the details are on the website at Corn and Soybean Classic. Just search Google and then look for IPM Conferences. Up next, we'll return to marketing corn and soybeans. While each growing season is a bit different, there are general price patterns farmers can watch for. These patterns, as you'll hear, usually offer good pricing opportunities for both of the primary crops in the Midwest. Each growing season is fairly unique, says Daryl Good, ag economist from the University of Illinois. Still, there are seasonal price tendencies, and if you couple those with some fundamental factors, a price picture can emerge.
What we do know going into 2010 from the supply side is, for the most part, we have plenty of soil moisture to the extent that that influences yield potential. I think our models would suggest that it has some modest positive influence on yield potential, but certainly is not the most dominant factor in determining how the 2010 crop will turn out. So I don't think we have a lot of insight on weather potential for 2010 that would be helpful at this point. I think, you know, kind of the assumption of trend yield is probably still the best assumption at this point.
So for the United States at this stage in the game, supply is determined to be trend yield. And Good says an extra 2 million acres in corn. And then there is demand, and in that vein, competition for soybeans from South America.
What we are looking at this point is a potential for a fairly significant rebound in South American soybean production. More acres, although Argentina in particular is reporting maybe not quite as much shift away from corn to soybeans as earlier indicated. But more importantly, early in the growing season, weather conditions in most of South America are conducive for a return to more normal yields there. And USDA, for example, is projecting about a billion bushel increase in crop size in South America. If that happens, that in my mind is a bit of a game changer in terms of the demand for U.S. soybeans.
Something to watch as it develops. It means the price of soybeans in the United States could fold much earlier in the year than usual. The normal seasonal trends for both corn and soybeans put the best opportunities to make sales in the months of March, April, May, and June. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Rebecca King in Galesburg at 309-341-5007. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. Brian Stark of the Andersons is online with us from right here in Champaign County. Hi, Brian. I've just got maybe a minute and 10 seconds for you to outline basis and your current prices for me.
I think the basis, obviously, Todd, going forward is probably going to improve. It'll depend a lot on how much corn moves here in January, February, but I think it stays firm or gets better. Bids this evening, 386 for cash corn. Fall corn of 2010 is 416. Cash soybeans, 1014. Fall 2010 beans, 970.
Still drying corn there?
Still drying corn.
And expect to for the whole month of January?
Yeah, I would. Well, as long as the temperature allows. Obviously, the weather have a lot to do with that. But moving forward, I think we continue to dry, so we continue to move the corn as it comes in.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Brian Stark. He's with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Joins us each and every Monday afternoon. Somebody does, from his office at the Andersons. I'll be back in 2 minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The weekend snowfall means property owners in downtown Champaign and in Campustown have to clear their sidewalks of snow by Wednesday morning. The city has put its sidewalk snow removal ordinance into effect. That means property owners have 48 hours from 10 o'clock this morning to either remove snow from their walks or face being billed by the city for the cleanup. Champaign Public Works Director Dennis Schmidt says the ordinance has been a success after complaints in the past that some properties were left an icy hazard for pedestrians, especially the elderly and those with disabilities. He says while the ordinance was controversial when passed 3 years ago, the City Council has been pleased with the level of cooperation among downtown and Campustown property owners. Minnesota's Attorney General is backing Michigan's effort to block the Asian carp from getting into the Great Lakes. Laurie Swanson filed her brief with the U.S. Supreme Court, noting that Minnesota has 140 miles of shoreline on Lake Superior. Michigan wants the High Court to order closure of a Chicago-area canal. Mercury pollution from coal-fired power plants increased by 7% last year. That's according to a Chicago Tribune analysis of federal data. Mercury emissions from all U.S. power plants declined by 4%. Indiana State Police will soon debut a computerized database for tracking sales of cold medicines. They hope it will help them watch for suspicious sales of ingredients that can be used to make methamphetamine. State police say they seized a record number of meth labs in Indiana this year. The Champaign County Clerk says absentee ballots are ready for the February 2nd Illinois primary. The ballots are available at the Brookins Center in Urbana. You can get more information at champaigncountyclerk.com. I'm Jim Meadows.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Monday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, is on the line with us today. Hi, John.
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
Oh, I'm very well. Dug out of, I guess, not considerable. It's an inconsiderable amount of snow, but not as much as some people have gotten, about 4 or 5 inches here in Champaign County. Other places had a whole lot more snow over the Christmas weekend, didn't they?
Well, the areas out to our west and portions of Iowa, Minnesota, South Dakota, Nebraska, it was a historic snowstorm out across those areas. And kind of the epicenter of the storm was in the Sioux City, Sioux Falls region, and that is now coming into the record books as one of the top five storms since the late 1800s across that region. So really a historic storm across the Central Plains.
Oh, I did not realize it was quite that big. Tell me about the stats.
Well, we had some areas get as much as 20 to 26 inches across that corridor, basically going from just north of Omaha up through Sioux Falls, Sioux City, and then further north up into the Grand Forks area. So you're talking about pretty much 2 feet with, you know, a long duration event. It was about 3.5 days in duration and extremely strong winds during the entire event.
Yeah, it was a big storm, and it's one of a series of big storms that have swept through the United States in the last month, has it not?
It has been very stormy over the past month, and a lot of that has its origins in the equatorial Pacific and the El Nino event that continues to be ongoing across that region. And what that does is produce a strong subtropical jet stream, and that subtropical jet stream then transport some of that warm, kind of moist air that storms that forms storms as it does move across portions of the lower 48.
Does it make a difference between winter and spring and summer? Summertime, if you look out and at what that El Nino might do to coming weather?
Well, from that standpoint, it really depends on what El Nino does from this point on. Does it continue to strengthen? Has it peaked out during the month of December? So a lot of that really comes down to what El Nino does during the first 6 months of the new year.
All right. Well, we'll have to keep track of that. What's our weather forecast look like over the next week or so?
Well, no other huge storms on tap across the middle portion of the country, but we do have a couple of minor waves here coming through. One will be the middle portion of this week, late Wednesday and Thursday, with some light snow across most of the Midwest, kind of a couple of inches here or there versus the huge totals that we saw in a lot of areas over the past the Christmas holiday weekend. And then another similar type wave early on next week with generally light snow totals coming up. So no huge storms, couple of light snow events. I guess the biggest story is going to be the cold temperatures and well below normal readings across actually much of the country as we go through the end of December and on into the new year.
I left you just 1 minute to talk about the wheat, corn, and soybean crop in the southern hemisphere.
Well, overall, things are quite good across the southern hemisphere, and in the big producing regions of Brazil and Argentina, really no major weather problems of note, and really no signs of any kind of weather problems of note, as they could frequent rains across the region, do not have any ridges of high pressure that produce any unusual heat. So the bottom line is that overall crop prospects are pretty good across South America with no sign of any problems upcoming.
Thank you much.
My pleasure, Todd.
And that is John Davis. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report.